Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Writing Mama Show at BTR's World of Ink Network. Be prepared to call in later and talk with myself, V.S. Grenier, and Marsha Cook, and our special guest, Johnny Tan, right here on the Writing Mama Show. I'm your host, V.S. Grenier. I'm an award-winning editor, children's author, workshop speaker and presenter, and then Marsha Cook, who is my co-host. She's an agent, author, screenwriter. She does her own blog talk radio show, A Good Story is a Good Story, and a few more things. I think she's very well-rounded. How are you doing today, Marsha?
Hi, how you doing? Well, we're both here. Good. Where I'm lying. There we go.
Yeah, we're both here today. We'd like to say it's an honor to have Johnny Tan with us today. It is 3 p.m. Utah time on May 6, 2011. And just really quickly before we introduce everything about Johnny Tan to you guys, the Writing Mama Show can be listened, of course, here live on blogtalkradio.com at the World of Ink Network, but you can also catch us on iTunes. If you just type in World of Ink Network, you will find our shows listed. You can also listen to us on demand here at blogtalkradio.com at the World of Ink Network, and you can always call in and listen through your phone, smartphone, cell phone, whatever, and if you have questions, you can also use the same number to call in and ask us a question at the end of the show, or toward the end of the show, I should say. And the phone number is 714-242-5259. And just really quickly, our guest is Johnny Tan. He's a multi-award-winning author, motivational speaker. He has his own blog talk radio show, From My Mama's Kitchen, which is also the title of his best-selling book. And we want to welcome you to the show, Johnny. It's great to have you here.
Hi.
Thank you very much. Ladies, very good afternoon to both of you, Marsha,
thanks.
Virginia.
It's
a pleasure
you.
For being with on the radio with you guys today.
No, it's great being here. I know that I was on your show a few weeks ago, so it's nice having you on our show this time. So,
very exciting.
I was reading through some of, you know, the press kit that you sent me about, you know, your book, From My Mama's Kitchen, and, of course, I've been on your show, and I've listened to your show, From My Mama's Kitchen, here on Blog Talk Radio. And what I love is, it seems like, because you are a motivational speaker, too, everything that you kind of do with the whole From My Mama's Kitchen, is that the actual name of the corporation? I'm sorry, I don't have my notes exactly in front of me. I'm really bad about that. But that's the name of your overall company, right, From My Mama's Kitchen?
Yes, From My Mama's Kitchen is a registered trademark, and
right.
It is about the entire concept. It has a platform of its own. That's correct.
Yeah, and you have your powerful message that you share through everything that you do through that personal success begins at home, which I absolutely love. I don't think I've ever heard something that is just so impactful and so true.
Right. It is. That's true. It does start. It does.
Well,
it
really
does. That's what that's mother. That's mother. That's the mother.
By the way, before I forget, happy Mother's Day to both
thank
of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Mother's Day on Sunday, which is why we're
that's
so
right.
Excited.
You're welcome.
Show.
Yeah, it's yes.
Yeah,
it's very exciting.
Yeah. I mean, right. What makes it fun having you on the show is, you know, with Mother's Day weekend rolling, coming up this coming Sunday, is the fact that your book, From My Mama's Kitchen, is about the fact that there are 9 women in your life that you consider to be, you know, the title of a mom to you, that have helped
right.
you basically be where you're at now, you know, achieve the successes you've had. But, you know, I'd love you to kind of share a little bit about your book so our listeners know, you know,
sure.
the background of your book. And,
and also one thing, it's every review is 5-star that you have, which is unbelievable. They're all 5-star.
Well, we have some 4s, too, you know, and I don't know if they're planning to go and look them up and,
look, it says 5-star.
And beat them
well,
up. No, I'm just kidding.
Well,
no, I've been very blessed, to be honest with you. I've been very fortunate that people have read my book. That's the greatest validation that one could have as an author. I think a lot of times when you put something on paper, you put your heart on paper. And especially when writing this book, it is from my heart center. And then, of course, the next thing you do is that you go through these worries about, oh, my God, how are people going to take this, you know? And and the unique thing about that book is not about me. It's about this wonderful women that I've met throughout my life in the course of living. So far, I've met this all these wonderful women that has basically chaperoned me, for lack of a better term here, as my teacher, my coaches, my counselor. They were my mentors all these years. And not knowing that they were doing all this, and until finally when I had the opportunity to really kind of sit down and write the book, it was interesting, very, very interesting. And one of the things that, and when I go around to talk about from My Mama's Kitchen concept and the book, the number one question people ask me is like, how do you manage to have 9 moms? And a lot of times before I had the opportunity to answer that, the next question that came up is it a blessing or a curse? And, like, my answer is, of course, it's always a blessing.
Apparently,
you know?
They didn't have a good mother like that. They don't get that, do they?
I've been very fortunate. Well, let me put this way. I play around with that, you know. I say, let me put it this way. Had I been, you know, depending on what age that I was at, if you had asked me, it needs 9 moms to kind of straighten me out, you know, the answer would have been different.
You know, what's interesting about that is, and I don't remember the name of the book, I have a brother who is literally a year and a half older than my soon-to-be 15-year-old son. And my dad and my stepmom, like I said, I don't remember the name of the book, but they kept saying, oh, you need to buy this book, you need to read it, you need to read it. It's about, you know, raising boys. And I was like, you know, at that time I was really busy with everything in my life. And I was like, you know, Dad, I don't have time to read this book. He's like, no, you need to understand, because you have a boy. It takes more than just, you know, a dad and a mom to raise them. And he's like, in this book, it talks about how they use the analogy of, like, the Indians and how when the young Indian boys are growing up, that everybody in the village helps raise them, because it takes everybody in the village to actually help shape and make a young man successful. And your book kind of, when I met you and learned about your book and stuff, it really made me think about when my dad had told me that, and this was back when my son was like 6 years old, this is, you know, 10 years ago, and it made me think about that, you know, that it's really true, because I know with my 2 girls raising them, you know, they lean more on me. I mean, yeah, they're daddy's girls and stuff, but, you know, they really look to me and stuff that I'm doing. But my son, it's been myself, my husband, my 4 parents, because my parents are divorced, my husband's parents, it's been basically the group of us that have helped shape him and mold him versus the way his sisters have been raised. I mean, it's interesting, but it seems like, I think for, at least from what I've seen, you know, versus like my brother who only has had, you know, because I'm so much older than him, so I'm more like a parental figure in his life, and so is my husband, having us and then, of course, my dad and my stepmom. There's such a dynamic difference between the way my son looks at things, because he's had more of like a village type raising versus my brother.
See,
so
because
I can see that.
You know, because I had like, I was very lucky, because I used to, I really feel like grandparents are important if you have them and they're good, and aunts and uncles and the whole family. And especially, I used to go to lunch, like this is several years ago, with maybe there were 5 or 6, 7 women. They were my aunt's friends, and they were all older. And my mother and my grandmother and my sister and my aunt, and we all sat around, and they'd say to me, you're young, why do you want to be here? And I said, because I'm really learning from you, and I really did. And I think that people, if they don't take what they have from their family, they're missing a lot, because unfortunately now, as a matter of fact, today, one of them is 92 years old. I took her to lunch today because it's Mother's Day. I always send cards, and unfortunately, she's the last one left, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm missing all of them, because we all, I just learned so much from them, and I think what a lot of people now is they don't think they have to learn, and you really do learn from people that are older than you, and I think hearing their stories shaped me in a different way than I would have been if I not had, mm-hmm. had not had them in my life, and I love that I had them in my life. I wish they were all back.
That's very true.
So I get what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
You know, when you look at this, in all actuality, when you talk about the actually two parts of the equation, because you have the parent and then you have the child. And what happens mm-hmm. is that I think all of us will agree to this. When you're never an expert in your own backyard, because we were children before, and you know where I'm coming from when we say, you know, like, uh-huh, yeah, okay.
Yep.
You know, our parents are never an expert. We
right.
need someone else to tell us that.
Right.
And so... that's the one side of the equation. And then the flip side is, and you're correct in terms of saying, there is a wealth of information that we adults, and the older you get, the more information that you have, that will be a tremendous help to the younger generation. And so one has to be very open in wanting to help, to mentor somebody else through the treacherous waters of life. And I think... So that's why there's two parts of the equation, and I've been very fortunate in the course of over the years that I have ran into all these different mothers at different times in my life. So in all actuality, somehow, somewhere, you know, again, I'm not trying to be religious or anything like that, or I'm just more from a spiritual side standpoint of view, that God has put the right people in my line, you know, in my line of sight at the appropriate time, because there are things in our lives, to be honest with you, where, you know, we can't approach our mom to talk about certain things, you know, how we talk to our best friend or our
mm-hmm.
aunt or our uncle. And
yep.
what happens in my situation is just so happens that these wonderful women that, who are mothers, and that natural nurturing instincts just kicks in. And
yeah.
so what I can talk to my mom, my adopted mom, you know, in Malaysia, I could talk to my spiritual mom. Or I can talk to my Texan earthly mom and get her point of view. And it so happens that all these women, too, at the same time, have different strengths and weaknesses. So it worked out very well. They became a team of counsel for me.
And that's a great thing.
I think that's
because,
true,
I think
it's
great.
Well, and I know, like, you know, especially now having a, you know, teenage son and mm-hmm. stuff, I mean, because obviously when they're young, when your children are younger, it's a little different. But as they get into their preteen and teen years, and,
right.
and I would say, you know, before you speak, oh, when your kids were hitting about 14, 15, like my son is now. But I think now with parents and just the way society is, and especially with the Internet and all the technology
right.
that's out there and how just the world really impacts, I mean, the kids just have way more access to what's going on in the world than they used to.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like, it can start as early as 10 where a lot of kids feel like they can't turn to their parents and talk to them about certain things. And
right.
I know I hear a lot from, family counselors when I've gone to, you know, school board meetings and stuff, they're like, if you don't think your child can talk to you, you need to find somebody that your kid can
right.
open up to. And I know, like, with my husband who works, like, he does, what you know, in the police department, and, you know, and there's, like, the battered women, the battered children. I know a lot of the detectives that handle that when I've talked to them and stuff, when I've worked on different articles and stuff for to help children, you know, so they have a source to, like, kind of help them know that they're not alone and where they can get help. That's one of the biggest things they always tell those kids is if you don't feel like you can talk to them in your family, find somebody, a teacher, you know, a coach.
Yeah, somebody
you know,
can talk to them. No, really, that's
somebody,
very true.
Somebody, yeah.
I mean, you need to have other people in your life other than your parents because sometimes, you know, just kids naturally say, oh, what do my parents know? You know, but then they find out later when they get older, like I did, that my parents knew a lot of things and I accepted
right.
it later, but not when I was a teenager. I was
that's correct.
Fun. You know,
that's
I'm having
correct.
A good time.
But, see, that's what I covered in my book because what it makes me realize is that we go through this concept of, first and foremost, from somewhere along the line, you know, we learn everything since day one that when we were born. And then somewhere when we hit puberty around 11, 12, or whatever that age, plus minus a couple of years or so, then we go through this process of we know it all.
Yeah.
And then when we leave home around 17, 18, 19,
right.
plus minus again a few years, and then we realize that we may not know it all.
Yeah, right.
And then finally, in our 30s or so, or some of us, it may take forever. We haven't got there yet, but we realize that we don't know anything at all.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because the other day my husband and I were listening to you on talk radio, and there's a station out in California where we used to live, out in Southern California. It's KFI. I think it's 640 or 680 a.m., something like that. Anyways, and the host was kind of, they were talking about, the whole thing with Osama bin Laden, and
yeah.
But they weren't talking about basically what's been out there on the news about. What they were talking about on the show was how that the highest number of tweets over the last few days since the announcement happened was who is Osama bin Laden. And so they thought that was interesting when they saw this out there in the tweet world, that this was a question kind of being posted and stuff, or, should I care that, bin Laden's dead? Does it make a difference, that Osama bin Laden's dead? Those kind of tweets. And so they wanted to see who the generation was, what the age range was for those posts. And I guess it was between ages 14 to 21 was, and I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, but it was like somewhere within, it was either that whole age bracket or within that age bracket. So basically you're thinking preteens, high school kids, and kids just getting into, in their first years of college were the ones tweeting this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because the host made the comment that, he wasn't surprised that was the age group that was putting those tweets out there, because, one, a lot of parents wanted to shield their kids from what happened with 9/11, which I completely understand. I mean, it was completely an awful experience. And so a lot of kids didn't know about it because parents didn't really talk about it too much.
Well, they were very young then. They were very young.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, my son, I started thinking about, oh, my gosh, he's the same age as his sister is now. I mean, thinking about it, and it's been so long. But, of course, he's known about it. But then the host went on to say that the other thing, too, is a lot of the – not that I'm all being political here, but a lot of politicians have been targeting this age group and making the comment, and I can't remember exactly what the wording is, and I wish I would have recorded it and wrote it down so I would have had it in front of me, but this whole conversation made me think about it. But it was like a lot of politicians have been telling, this generation that's getting ready to vote, or just, now at the age where they're going to be voting, that, that they know more than their parents kind of thing, that what they know their parents don't know. And it was funny because the host turned around and said, well, obviously this shows that what you think you don't know, and your parents know things that you have no clue about, because obviously you don't know anything about 9/11 and why all this stuff's been happening, obviously, over the last 10 years, to make an educated choice. And it's true. I mean, I think you know so well on the head about when you're a teenager, you do know a lot. And it's not that teens and young, and I'm saying adults, I'm saying 25 and younger, aren't smart. They're very smart. They're very self-aware. But the wisdom, the experience, that maturity level isn't there. And I think that's where, at least from what I got from your book, is that's where your nine moms really came in with your life. It wasn't that you weren't a smart kid and you didn't know, about life. It was just you didn't have the experience or the knowledge or wisdom to go with what was going on at those times.
Well, because we grow and develop in different times, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
That's very true. And not only that, what happens in one's life, that's the university of life that you enroll in. And so my Malaysian mom had a wonderful thing. It's like you have a choice that you can live underneath a coconut shell, or you can kind of venture out there and see what the real world is all about. And so these are the things that both, I think, the parents and the child needs to be aware of it, and especially more so for the parents, because in all honesty, the parents have a lot more control than they think they do. Because what happens here is that we tend to, especially in the society here in the Western society, in the United States, we tend to outsource a lot of things because we have this complex about, well, gee, I don't know about this, I don't know about that, I don't know about this. Well, let me put it this way. You can outsource calculus, you can outsource physics, but you don't outsource living life.
Right,
because
exactly.
You are the best educated from that perspective because you have lived your life. Now, the problem is that you're not able to get your message across is because probably of two things. Number one is the fact that you are subconsciously thinking that you are not good enough to be able to communicate that to your child. And number two it comes back to that concept of, you know, effective communication. Are you actually communicating from a perspective of being a teacher, coach, counselor, being a mentor, or are you just being, you know, writing somebody? And that's a big difference, because we talked just now about the fact that how, you know, a child goes through the process of, I know it all, I may not know it all, and I don't know squat. Now, parents go through the same process, too. Now, the ones that are really good realize that from the very beginning, they are just outright teachers. They are just teaching the ABCs. Hey, you got to absorb this any way you can. And then as the child progresses, then they change their concept to being a coach. And a coach is someone, you know, has that the sort of the eye for diplomacy. And then finally, believe it or not, they just become counselors. Because then, you know, like, hey, you live your life, but call me, okay, if you need some input. And that's
no,
the transition. Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's the dance of life, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
because
I
think
it's...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, I think you touched a great point, too, about parents. You know, not, you know, sometimes, obviously, you know, especially when parents have a lot of things going on in their life where they're, you know, especially now with the economy, I think a lot of parents are looking at their bills and what's going on, and they feel like, oh, my gosh, you know, I can't even, you know, keep our family, you know, above
right.
you know, water.
Well,
hardly, you know,
it's
how,
very
how
hard
can I parent?
Right.
But I know it's for me, you know, I know this is sound really cocky. I don't tend to beat myself up too much, like, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm a very alpha personality. And so I know for me that's a very hard thing as a parent when you're learning to be a mentor, a teacher, a coach, is because since I am so alpha, I tend to, and my mom tells me this all the time, so obviously I'm still getting, you know, here I am, I'm going to be 36 this year. My parents still mentor me in my life because my mom has told me, Virginia, you need to loosen up. You're squashing your son. You're too overbearing. You need to let him talk. And you may not agree with what he says, but you need to at least let him say what he has to say. Even if he still has to do what you tell him, just let him vent.
That really is important as a parent. That is, you know, I was lucky because I did work for pediatricians for many years, and all three of the pediatricians had different views. So, like, when my son was very little, I would ask them a question, and I would ask all three of them the question of what to do, and I would listen to all three of them and then make my own opinion and, you know, take from each of them something because, you know, they had children. You take what is best. I always felt that, you know, I tried to be the best parent, but I could be, and I didn't really try. I just was who I am, and I think that I wanted to be there for my child, and I was, you know, always. You know, even if I was working, I was there, and I just felt like he could talk to me about anything, and I wanted that. That's how I decided it to be, because I think my mother, didn't tell her things. I just didn't want to worry her. She was so nervous. If I was coughing, she'd get so nervous. I'd have to go downstairs in the basement and cough in a towel because I didn't want to stay home, you know, and I did those things, you know.
Right.
And it was like I did not want my son to feel that way because I want him to be able to say, yeah, my, you know, I don't feel good, rather than me right away going crazy and you know, getting so nervous.
Right.
You know, it's true, though, because kids do react. Even when they're first born, they react to how you hold them.
Right.
And they
let
don't
me tell you
nervous.
Something also. This is the interesting part because we talk, and you heard this over and over again. People always talk about being in the present moment, right, in any conversation. Okay. Guess what? The children are more in the present moment talking with you or to you or whatever you want to call it than you are when talking with them or to them.
Yes.
Do you realize that? Because
yeah,
we,
you know what?
As adults,
yeah, right.
tend to have
Absolutely.
1,001 things going on in our mind.
Exactly.
And so to echo what you just said, because they are observing you. They're looking at, and that's where they form that opinion, well, she doesn't know it all.
That is very true because, you know, because I remember asking my son certain things, and kids remember sometimes the smallest moment, okay?
Right.
And the things that you think they might remember, they don't. They remember these small little moments that to them were very big because they were kids, you know?
Right.
And they remember such a small little thing, but to them it was so important. And that's what their memories are from.
Right. And
well,
because they're more in the present moment than you are. Because
right.
you know how we get distracted here and there.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference.
Right.
And that's the uniqueness of being in the present moment. And then, of course, the flip side is that, you know, really a lot of, you know, us, you know, we go to college, we go to school, we go to college. You know, there's about 20 years of of education there, but no one, there's really no formal college to teach people how to be good parents.
Right, that's exactly, I always say that. That's true, though. There's no, yeah, there's no test to be a parent, and sometimes there should be. You know? It would be a good idea.
Well, I have a question about that, Johnny, because bringing that up, you know, there is no class for being a good parent, and I think most parents, even like, and I'll say this because, like, I turned to my grandma a lot when I was growing up, when you said, she was the person that if I couldn't talk to my mom or my dad, who I always went and talked to, I still do, and I always think that she's one of the most wonderful, you know, moms in the world. I mean, I think my mom and my stepmom are too, but, you know, my grandma, I was like, if I could be a mom, I wanted to be like her, because I always thought she was, obviously, because she wasn't my direct mother and always telling me every 24 hours a day what to do. You always think that of somebody who's not in the house with you. And she always told me, no one is ever a perfect parent. We all make mistakes.
Right.
And
no,
so
that's true, but nobody's a perfect person.
Yeah.
Well, my question is, because I know you do motivational speaking and stuff, do you, I know you do, you know, speaking engagements for companies and stuff, but do you ever do them for parenting groups or anything like that? I mean,
I'm in the process of putting together, you know, the platform itself, as I mentioned to you, and the platform itself is called Family Success Academy. And what we focus on is actually educating, inspiring, and entertaining everyone with the message of personal success begins at home. And what we show, we want to show the participants, we have not had this thing off the ground just yet because I just got through putting it on paper. So the next step will be, you know, of course, you know, getting this off the ground and being able to pitch it to family organizations and so forth that wants us to talk about this. And the topic that will be covered, there are three major topics. Number one is leadership excellence. The second one is organizational excellence. And third is the most important one. And no one is really over the other one, so to speak, but it's effective communication. And under family excellence, the question that one has to ask oneself is your family truly sharing your great family dream? Are your family members happy and living optimally? That's important.
Right. I would say now,
because of the times are so bad, it's really hard for people to feel that way, which is unfortunate, you know, because that might help them get through some of the hard times, but they're very stressed out, and that's probably a great time.
Because, let me first say, there's always, no time is the right time, and every time, any time is the right time, and it's always the right time. It doesn't matter what. Let me prove that life will always have its own challenges. It doesn't matter. I guarantee you, those folks that living in the 1820s, having all kinds of challenges like we have right now, believe me, I'm sure they do. Now, the challenges might be different. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you cannot tell me life is good in 1820.
No.
I mean, it's impossible.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, and we don't have to go to 1820. I tell you what, even right now, you look at you guys, and then you look at, I'm telling you this, and you may be surprised. I tell you what, look at the person that, say, for example, we comment the fact that we say life is good, all right? Okay, we all agree that, man, life is great. I can assure you, when you go to, in the middle of Kenya somewhere, or in the middle of the desert out in Africa, and you run into a bushman, and I'm talking about, you know, those guys that literally kill something in the day to eat at night, okay? You're going to ask them, you know, is life good? They'll tell you life is great because that's what they're
that's
used
the,
to.
That's what they know, right. Yeah, right. That's
right.
They
so,
no,
you know, I totally
agree with that because, because obviously, you know, we're all different age groups here on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, I know we're not all too far apart in age, but, you know, within a few years of each other and stuff. And you think about, like, when we were kids.
That sounds good to me.
That
sounds good to me, even though it's not.
I think we experience as kids is no different than what our parents experienced as kids, what our kids, you know, what the kids nowadays are experiencing as kids.
Right.
I mean, it's so true, the statement, you know, history repeats itself. And it's funny because I think about, because my husband and I talk about this a lot. You know, you look at, which a lot of people do, you know, they watch all those reality shows about, you know, the Real Housewives of the OC, of the Orange County, right? Now, I lived out there. So I know what Orange County
Right, you know it firsthand.
And of course,
right.
On that show, they show all the women, you know, like, you know, size 2 and got beautiful hair and go to the hair
No,
that's
not a real housewife.
Which
of
is a reality. But I know people who actually did live like that, who had houses
right.
on the beach that were like foot level,
right.
multi, you know, 5-story
right.
homes. I mean, they walked out their back door right onto their own private beach.
Right.
When I worked in fashion, I mean, I knew people who had the type of money like that. And
right.
I can guarantee you all the problems those people have are the same problems that the people who
yeah,
live in the ghetto
right.
down in LA
right.
have
right.
as well.
Exactly.
The only difference
because
is
you're
they
right.
have a little bit more money.
Right.
Yeah, that's
but
all.
The
you
same,
still have
same,
problems.
The
doesn't
same family
matter.
Problems. You know, even mm-hmm. even financially, I mean, people think, oh, because they have lots of money, they don't have financial problems. What are you talking about? They're worrying more about, you know, are they investing their money? Because if they
mm-hmm.
don't, because by government standards, if they're not doing certain things with their money, the government will take bigger chunks and stuff. So, I mean, they're still
yeah,
worried
right.
financially about I mean, there is still a financial pressure on them in that regard, or if
yeah.
they're investing, is the investment doing what it should be doing? So it,
yeah.
they might not be worrying, you know, paycheck to paycheck. However,
right.
they still have financial stress. They still have parenting stress of raising their kids. They still have, you know, oh, I have a house
mm-hmm.
and my plumbing just, you know, broke. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, whatever. I mean, the intensity for those people in their world is the same no matter what.
Right.
I mean, it's just. It's just the whole looking over the fence and the grass being green on the other side. And you're going to get on that green patch, and then you're going to look over the next
right.
fence. I mean, it literally is that way. And
but,
I
you know,
because
people really, they
do
have problems,
sure
but they
that.
Have to learn. They have to learn how to live with
yeah.
them.
Right.
And, they, and that's
well, when
the thing
that
they
comes
really,
back, you know, it comes down to that's what we're teaching. We're teaching a formula that is applicable to, you know, any kind of situation. For example, like that's coming down to what we talk about. We're going to be talking about like personal excellence, for example. Are you truly
mm-hmm.
leading yourself, your family, or are you being led by someone or something, or by your family?
Right, yeah.
Are you leading the family as a great teacher, coach, mentor, or are you outsourcing this role to others? And I can assure you, what you guys were just saying just now, you know, no matter what economic groups you are in, you're facing the same problem.
Yeah.
yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I think success, like, you know, exactly like you say and how you talk about how the kitchen is basically the heart of the home as well,
mm-hmm.
because that's where, you know, you would sit and talk with, you know, the different, you know, moms
right.
in your life and,
right.
and stuff. And I think that's so true because, you know, kids that doesn't matter, rich kids, poor kids, you know, middle-income family kids, if they're not sitting down with somebody, you know, and talking
mm-hmm.
to them, they're not, it doesn't matter, because I know people who made, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year,
mm-hmm.
and they had kids, and they're like, oh my gosh, my kid's a drug addict, he's
yeah.
been arrested, he doesn't want to
mm-hmm.
go to college, he's unmotivated,
right.
and then I've met people,
because yeah.
I lived a portion of my life in low-income housing, so I mean, I've lived in what people consider to be the ghetto. I mean, I know what that is like. I've spent a few years of my life like that, and I mean, look where I am, you know, and I mean, yeah, circumstances in my life changed as a kid to where I didn't stay there even when I was in high school and stuff, and I was fortunate, but I had friends who were still in that situation who have gone off to be, you know, dental hygienists and doctors and all kinds of stuff. But,
right.
You know, it's so true that it doesn't, you know,
it,
the whole
you make
success,
of it.
It really comes from the parents or the people you surround yourself with. You know, you want to surround yourself with people who are going to lift you up, not take you down.
And not only that, when you all look at it, ladies, there is a period of time where we're talking about generational cycle. There was a period
mm-hmm.
of time our parents, perhaps our grandparents down back then, the moms have the kitchen. That's their cave, women's cave. The
right.
dads have their man cave in the garage or wherever that is.
Right.
And then not only that, the kids don't go in there because, hey, and then there's a period of time where the women say, hey, we don't cook. You know, we work. And then the guys, you know, oh, definitely we don't cook. We just marry someone
right.
who knows how to cook. You know, it's true. I mean, that's life. And then so now we're going through the full cycle. The timing is right for all of this because now you find that there's no longer that man cave, women cave, and all that kind of stuff because everybody's cooking. The
yeah,
numbers
right.
will show all over the world that the younger generation, ironically, is coming to a full circle where they enjoy cooking. There are more guys cooking. There are more
oh,
women
yeah.
cooking and cooking together. The
right.
kids want to be involved in the kitchen. And so now the kitchen truly comes back to full circle to whereby long, 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 long time ago, the kids were actually in the kitchen helping mom to prep.
Right.
And learn all those little things that they need to learn about life, about living, and everything else. So the timing is correct, is perfect for everything that happened now. So now is the opportunity to take care of that kind of situation is to you know, as long as you're aware in the present moment, to take advantage of the situation, and that's what this is all about.
Well, I think it is important to be happy for what you have. You know, I think what happens to a lot of people is they're always looking at someone else to have what they have. And my grandmother, I mean, I learned a lot from her because she would always say, don't look at anybody else because you don't know if they have bad luck, good luck, whatever, but you'd be your own person. Don't look at what they have and say, oh, they have it all. Because I've been with people where we're sitting at a table in a restaurant and they go, they feel bad that, like, something's wrong with them and they think everybody else is healthy. I go, that's not really true. You just don't know them.
Right.
And you don't know what their problems are. They may look good, but they may have severe problems that you don't want. And, you know, you have to go a little past that and go into the inside of the person, not just look at what they are, because anybody, you know, you can dress up anybody, you know, doesn't mean they're happy.
Right.
And what I like that you said, too, Johnny, is about how everything's coming full circle as well, because I know, like, the perfect opportunities, and it doesn't matter what age, I mean, like, we just had my husband's parents up, and him and his dad were, we were changing out one of our interior doors between, because my office is right off of our laundry room, and so they were changing out that door, and when they were doing that, I mean, that was the time for them, just because they're working together, and I mean, they're working with their hands and stuff, but because they're doing the project, and it's just like a perfect time to start having a conversation without realizing it, and they just start talking, you know. Just and they weren't just talking about, like, you know, how are things going now and da da da. I mean, they were talking about like past things and like stuff that they didn't understand before, you know, why each other did what they did kind of conversations. And I find that with, like, my son and my husband when they're working on, like, his science projects or whatever, or when I'm in the kitchen, like you said, and I'm cooking dinner or we're baking cookies or making a cake or whatever, that tends to be, like, a great opportunity to just, because the kids don't feel, I don't think, it doesn't matter, like I said, it doesn't matter what age you are.
They don't feel pressured.
You're talking to,
there's no pressure.
You don't feel pressured. You don't feel cornered. You don't feel like, oh, great, I'm now pinned here and I have to answer questions I don't want to.
Right.
It's a very casual area. It's a very warm area to really connect from that one-to-one, from the heart center standpoint of view. Nobody, if you recall yourself, did you ever talk to, Mom, I need to talk to you. Let's go to the living room.
Right.
If you go to the living room, you're in trouble. How's that?
Yeah, right. If you leave the kitchen, there's something wrong.
Honey, I want to talk to you. Virginia? Come over here. You're in trouble.
No, it's true, because I know when I call my kids and I'm in the living room or I'm in my office, they tend to take longer to get to me. Like, what did I do now? What are you going to yell at me about now?
Yeah, they're not walking too fast.
Right.
No, I have a question for you. I have a question for you because, I mean, obviously your book really is about, you know, how important it is to have, you know, mentors in your life and people to talk to and the fact that, you know, obviously success, you know, starts at home. And so I know you're very much into having that family type environment, you know, and not just like your immediate family, but, you know, extended family, which includes, you know, obviously aunts, uncles, cousins, grandmas, and friends, you know, close friends and stuff. Do you feel, because it is bigger, and in a lot of cases, I mean, both parents have to work out of the home and stuff. I mean, I know, like, when I was growing up, dinner time, if that was the one meal out of the day that we could sit together as a family, we made an effort to do that. And I know my family's really bad about it, especially because we're all on different time schedules. But we don't do that very often. But when we do, I notice that the tone in the home is so much better. I mean,
I think it is a good thing to have if you can have it. We did that with my son. You know, my husband came home late, but he came home at like 6:30 or 7, and so we would wait, and, you know, and then we had dinner together, and I do think it's a nice thing if you can do that, because I think that this time you share with each other, and that's time you can't ever get back later.
Right.
It doesn't.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious, you know, Johnny, when you've been out and you've talked to people and stuff, I mean, what's kind of been your take? You know, have you heard that from other people, that they kind of, you know, miss that sit-down time?
Yeah, that's the normal. If you look at the evolution of, I guess, work and everything else, again, it's we live in a closed system. You cannot create order on one end without creating disorder somewhere else. I mean, when you look at it right now, for example, I mean, back so far when, whatever it is, everybody works close to home. There's no such thing as 24 hours a day. In some places in this world, you still have that basic 9 to 5 deal, and after 5 o'clock, the whole city shuts down. But that's not realistic anymore. Okay?
Not anymore.
So having said that, you know, gone are the breakfast together, the lunch together, the dinner together. And then when you look at the evolution of the family process, then before you know it, well, maybe we can get together at dinner time because, you know, people come back from school or work at different times of the day, so you can forget about lunch. Breakfast is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
So dinner is the only time. And then you find that then, again, you've got extracurricular activities and so forth. So you can't really do that. And then now what you have is like once every Sunday, well, let's have Sunday dinner. That's the concept of Sunday dinner because it's the family time to get together. And we're not talking about after church or whatever. That's up to each individual family. But the point is, on Sundays, we get together and do this family thing. And then somehow you got kids living somewhere else, this, that, and so forth. Then you narrows it down to holidays. God knows there's about four, five, six of them throughout the year that, you know, you can really make this connection. But ultimately, the point is that everyone has to focus on the fact that, okay, let's just pick up one particular time that this is that family quality time.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important thing. And then
just wait. You don't have to make it every day, but just make it one time.
Precisely.
You know.
This is where quality counts. Of course, quantity always counts also. But having said
but
that,
you can't sometimes.
You know, we manage everything else in life. Why can't we manage our, you know, our unconditional love also, our time? And this is the most precious thing in our life, our family. And
so these
are the little things that you have to answer yourself. What is important? I do want to talk real quick about this just now when we talk about, like, when we talk about parents, like, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm so stern about this. I'm so afraid my child do this, that, and so forth. I think you had mentioned about, like, your Virginia, you mentioned that your mom had said, you know, you got to relax a little bit, this, and so forth.
Right.
Well, let me put it this way. Whenever you have love, you have fear. Because a person who fears nothing loves nothing. You see? Because you got
that makes
sense.
That's
natural. The fact that you are so you love someone so much because you're fearful so much. And when you're fearful so much, you love more. It's sort of in a funny, swanky way, they're correlated, you know, the yin and yang, so to speak.
Yeah, well, because I think sometimes, like, I thought, like, even in my own life, my father, I thought, oh, he was too strict because, you know, but he was strict. And I thought it was bad at that time, but then it really wasn't bad because it was really good. But when you're 15, you don't think it is, but when you go back and remember, you're glad that he did that because you turned out a certain way because he did that.
Right.
And you might not have, let's say, not me, but I'm saying anybody, you know, because you had somebody that you were afraid that you didn't want to end up in trouble because your parent would be mad at you. And there's nothing, I don't really think there's anything wrong with that because I think you need a little of that because otherwise everybody would just do whatever they felt like, you know.
Precisely.
And that might not be a great thing either. So I think that these are really good points that you have. And, I mean, that's why I can see why people are interested in talking to you because people are missing this in their life. And that's why listening to you, they might realize that maybe they should take a step back and go, you know what, I think he's right and maybe we ought to try this and maybe we'll be happier.
Right. And the communication side of it, that comes back down to the third part that we're offering is, you know, effective communication. Is your family living harmoniously? Because what happens here is that, think about it, you brought up a very interesting point. Say when you were a teenager and you wanted to go out and your mom said, nope, and then what's the immediate reaction? Well, you don't love me enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Now you're a mother and you said that to your daughter. Nope. And you said it from the standpoint of, because I love you, I don't want anything of the fear. But the other side of the equation doesn't look at it that way. But what happens is that if you sit down and explain why.
Right.
And the reason. And you walk through it from that loving, from that power, unconditional side, and having them see. Now, you may still let them go, or they may say, you know what, I don't want to go now, because now I understand all the possibilities, all the possible scenarios out there. Mom, you're right. Or the fact that now, you know, go ahead and go. Now you understand so that you are equipped to look out for all these little things so that I trust you enough to make the right decision.
No, that's good. And it also depends on where you live. It depends on where you live, though. I mean, like, when I lived in Chicago and I grew up in Chicago. And so it's a little different than you're growing up in maybe, you know, a smaller place. Because, you know, you can't. Now, I mean, I see the things that could have happened to teenage, you know, us, and we just weren't afraid, you know.
Right.
But, you know, you just went out and you did it because we grew up there. You know,
right.
This is just what you learn. But then now if you move to the suburbs, then you worry that your children will go into the city and maybe they don't know how to do this or that, or and they'll, you know, something will happen. It's different.
Right.
It is different when you're a suburb than a city.
Right.
Johnny,
but the fear
we have
and
a,
love is still the same.
Yeah. Right. No matter where
it
you
doesn't
live.
Change.
Johnny, Johnny, I was going to say we have a caller, Bennett, on the line, and he actually had a question for you. So,
sure.
Bennett, did you want to ask Johnny your question?
Sure, I'd love to. This is Bennett Pomerantz. How are you?
Hi, Bennett.
I've
nice.
Seen enough
you.
Of your book. I haven't seen the whole thing yet, but I've seen enough of your book. I've been very impressed with you.
Hi, Bennett.
Thank you.
Sir? Oh,
hi,
okay.
Bennett.
Hi, how are you?
Marcia,
by the way, happy Mother's Day early, ladies.
Thank you. Bennett, just want to say who you are for a second, just when you're on
Bennett
the phone.
Bennett Pomerantz. I review for Amazon and also Eagle Eye Reviews. I wanted to know. I'm sorry.
No, no, go ahead. Fantastic.
I wanted to know about what did you think about the California law that Guy Fieri is trying to enact about the families to have one meal a week together?
You know, it's always the two sides of the equation. Do we need government to regulate our family life?
Right.
Obviously not, but on the same
I
time.
I love him. He's good.
Yeah.
Hey, that's
yeah.
a diplomatic
I'm just
style
thinking,
of things,
I'm thinking,
you know?
Oh, my God, this is not a good thing.
But at the same time, it's common sense, because what it does is that in the absence of family taking ownership and realizing, hey, what is important, then we do need to have someone to say, you know what, think about this, guys. This will force you to sit down and just, you know, okay, fine. You don't, and that's what we talk about. You know, as long as you're in the room, we feel the energy, and eventually you'll talk. To give you an example, what's very interesting, you brought a very interesting, question there, and I hope I answered it in some sort of way. I have a good friend now. He is a former judge, and during he was in the he's a judge in the family court, okay, and this is very interesting. He had a situation where a boy committed a crime. Father brought him into the courtroom, you know, judge, yeah, he's guilty, blah, 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 this and all this, you know, just kind of just go ahead and lay it out there. And you know what Jim did? Jim says, you know what, as the sentencing, you know, I haven't decided yet what I want to do. Why don't you two go home, you know, and, you know, just talk things out, come back in about a month, and, you know, how, because usually you found guilty and then you come back later for your sentencing, so to speak, you know. So that's all the judge did. So they went home, you know, spent, you know, this whole time, whatever it is, they kind of communicate a little bit more. Come back 30 days later, well, judge, we're here for the sentencing. I have not really made the decision. I got a pile of stuff here to do. So, you know, why don't you guys take another 30 days and, you know, just communicate, visit, whatever. And then they came back after 60 days, and then the judge asked him, Jim asked, you know, this father and son, and asked the father, he said, what have you learned? He said, you know, I understand now why my son did this, and this. And I realized that, you know, this is, you know, blah, 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 blah. He said, well, you know what? That's good, because the sentence is suspended, because the main thing is that there's lack of communication there, and I want you all to be able to connect this and make it work. And that comes back to that, you know, how it does deal to the fact that, you know, now you need to have at least one meal a week together.
Yeah.
It gives you a chance to communicate. For better or
worse,
you said something. I hate the government to run our lives, but, you know, I don't know.
No.
Well, you said something that was interesting earlier. You said there was no class for a good parent, but there isn't a class for a good adult. My father was always working, and I, you know, was either put food on the table or starve, and my mother was in charge of the house. So I understand where you're coming from with your book, but the question I have here is, I mean, my mother would do the wait until your father gets home speech. And it's like the comedian George Wallace, not the governor, would say, your mother says, you go up to your room and wait until you act right. And he comes down and says, to be or not to be? He says, wait till your father gets home. And the Bruce Wallace would say, what does he know about acting?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. When my mother never punished. My mother would wait until my father did it. And my father, when the crime was already done and finished, you know, I did something wrong. My mother sent me up to my room. I came back down. My father said, hey, did you learn anything? Yeah, fine, that was it. And my mother was frustrated. And that was not really parenting.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned from her also to take responsibility.
Very much so. But that comes back to the idea of effective communication, because what happens is that your mother does not really know how to communicate effectively to you, and so she relinquished that responsibility to your dad. On the other hand, your dad really doesn't know the whole thing, and he really doesn't want to get into the whole thing.
Right.
And then, of course, you get into the situation about the men are from Mars and women are from Venus thing, and then, you know, like, okay, then did you get up scot-free? Maybe. Did you learn something? Maybe. But the idea is that's where it comes back again now. People are communicating more and more. And back then, I would think, again, there's a big distinction there, like you were talking about, because I grew up in that point of view, too, where the mom is the COO of the house, you know?
Yeah.
But dad makes all the decision or whatever. But now it changes. The dynamics have changed. There's a lot more open communication. The question is, are we taking advantage of it as adults?
Yeah.
Are we conscious? Mm-hmm. Are we, you know, being there in the present moment, are we effectively communicating with our kids? That's the difference.
What are you doing in audio?
The one thing that you just said, which is really, it's the CEO of the house. Now, see, that is really a good thing to call a woman that is at the home instead of saying, like, she's just at home. She's the CEO of the house, because the house does need a lot of taking care of. And the CEO is a good way to put it. I love that. That's a great way.
I think
it would make people feel good. You're the CEO of the house. And that's the truth.
Without the mother, sometimes. Well, I think it depends on personality, because I think my husband would say that that's pretty much already established in our house, and I need to be voted off of the board and demoted as CEO, because I'm a little bit of a control freak. But I love that. Now, I love the fact, and thank you, Bennett, for calling in, that you had some really great questions, so I just want to let you know that. But I loved the fact that he did bring up, you know, the fact that the government is trying to step in and do that. And it made me think about how a lot of, at least on, like, children channels, I see it mostly, or, like, you know, family channels, like ABC Family and stuff, where they really promote the family game night, you know, go get a game and sit down and play a board game together. And that's one thing. I mean, we don't do it all the time, but when my husband's not working a lot of late nights and it's a little bit more laid back and the kids, you know, it's you know, during the, like this time of year for us, we get out as school ends for us at the end of May versus June out here in Utah. And so we tend to get out, oh my gosh, I can't think of the name of the game. What's the name of the game? My son's in the office. And Settlers of Catan is what we play, which is kind of like Risk, but a better version. My husband will say, don't call it Risk. It's not Risk. This is way better than Risk.
New name. Got to use it.
But, no, it's a fun game. And what's great about it is not only because we're sitting together as a family and playing it, there's strategy involved, just like in Risk. But unlike where Risk is a battle, the strategy is you're building, of course, a settlement, and you have to, of course, have the resources. And I've noticed that when we play that, like, you know, my son and will, like, try and outsmart us, but mostly outsmart his dad, because it's rare that Justin doesn't win the game. And but, like, Dominic will, like, maybe put all his settlement around the rock or something so none of us can get rocks so we can build, you know, obviously some can't do masonry, right? And my husband will say, well, Dominic, was that very smart? And he'll use that as a teaching tool. And so I'm just kind of curious, do you think that's another great way for, I mean, I would assume you're going to say yes, but, you know, for parents, you know, to kind of find games like that where they can, one, have fun as a family, but two, use it as a teaching tool to get their children thinking and, of course, open up, again, conversation.
I think the biggest thing for parents, I think, ultimately, is that no matter how distracted you are with the things that you have to look at, it comes back down to the idea of where the, you know, how we talk about where the child, every time when they talk to, and this goes to, we're not talking about just a young child here at any age.
Mm-hmm.
They are in the present moment when they talk to you, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And no, are you in the present moment? And if you're not in the present moment, then you're in trouble.
That's true. Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it, because really, because I really do see that, that does happen as they grow older. You realize that what they remember, and that's true, because if you're playing a game and you're really not playing a game, you're sitting there, but you're not really playing it. Then eventually, they get that feeling that you're really not interested.
Yeah, because I can assure you this much, because when you look back in your own self right now, this minute, if you want to go talk to your mom, are you in the present moment? You are.
No.
The question is your mom in the present moment, or your dad, or your husband, or whoever that is. You see what I'm saying?
And, I have to agree with it, because I know my son's been sitting back, and I know he's probably sitting here going, "Mom, I'm waiting for you to get done with the show so I can ask you a question." And of course, I'm ignoring him because I'm not
right, exactly. Well, because you're on the radio and you're on the show and you're not talking.
I'm distracted. Exactly. But we're getting to the end of the show, so I want to thank you, Johnny, for coming on the show. Can you share with our listeners your websites, what time your show, the From the Mama's Kitchen's on, all that wonderful information so they can, you know, find you and follow you, because you're just a wealth of
great
information.
Advice. Some great, really, you gave some great advice.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Thank you very much. Yeah, everyone can buy my book from Amazon.com as well as BarnesandNoble.com. They can find out more information about the entire From My Mama's Kitchen concept at www.frommymamaskitchen. That is FrommyMamasKitchen.com. And then my radio show is on Blog Talk Radio. It's a weekly radio show every Tuesday morning from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock Central Time. And the platform for the radio show is basically very, very simple. It's about bringing inspirational, spiritual, and motivational stories of ordinary people, especially moms, doing extraordinary feats to instill a positive attitude in our global community.
That's great.
It's been great. It's been great having you. And again, those listening, I was going to say that we do have Johnny's websites listed also in the description of today's show, so you can find the From My Mama's Kitchen link there, him as a speaker, as speakerjohnnytan.com, and a link to his Blog Talk Radio show, From My Mama's
Kitchen.
And
it's featured right on the Blog Talk Radio, right on
featured today. And definitely go check out his book, From My Mama's Kitchen, because I think it's not just a book for adults. I think it's a great book for, you know, a way of opening up conversation as a family as a whole. And those of us, you know, who work in this crazy industry, from motivational speakers to TV, radio, film, and writing books, I mean, it definitely was a book that made me realize I need to not let my writing life dominate my family life.
Honestly, it's a very good way to think of things, and it really is. And it was a really calming show, because usually we're so busy talking about, you know, how to get sales. This was just how to live life. And so I think that was a good, very good show. I enjoyed it.
Well, I enjoyed it too, ladies. And one of the things that I do want to share with someone real quick is that, you know, when we talk about this is just not about women empowerment. It's about men also. One of the greatest reward that I had encountered is that in the course of doing my book signing in the various Barnes & Noble's location, I had several men that bought my book, and they were very thankful that I wrote the book, because they say, you know, in my life I had 3, 4, 5 moms or people of very special importance to them that helped them.
That's great.
Sort of what I did was I rekindled that experience for them.
Yeah.
So I just want to
share. They might have forgot, right. Yeah. You don't always think of these things, right? No, seriously, sometimes you get on with your life and you don't think about the things, and these things are so important, because those are the things that will go with you your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, thank you again, Johnny.
Thank you.
I'm going to just kind of go over our closing stuff really quick. Again, listeners, you can find Johnny Tan's links, again, in our description, and his website is www.frommymaskitchen.com, which is From My Mama's Kitchen. And we have no shows over this weekend like we did last
week. Yeah, we don't. It's a surprise.
But we do have... and there is no Stories for Children show this coming Monday.
But there is a good story.
Takeoff.
Yeah.
Yes, but Marcia, please tell us about your good stories.
Okay,
show.
I have
quite a few books.
It's really going to be a good show. I have Jan Britland, Bobby Hinman, and J.D. Holliday and Claudia Graziano, they are all self-published writers who are very successful, and their books are absolutely, they're done well and they look great. They're going to be talking about self-publishing and all the things that make a book look good and sell on Amazon. And so that's my show on Tuesday, and I will be having a lot of shows, and I will be posting them out. I have like about 14 shows this month, you know.
Yeah, you have
and
a bunch of schedules.
Yeah, I have a lot of shows, you know, and but they're going to be all different. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different shows that we're both having.
Right, and then, of course, exactly. And then a week from, of course, this Friday is, because every Friday is the Writing Mama show here on BTR World of Ink Network. Our show time is actually changing. This is the last time we're going to be at 5 p.m. Eastern time, 3 p.m. Mountain time, which is where I'm at here in Utah. We will actually be changing to 6 p.m. Eastern time next Friday, just so you all know. And it's going to be a really fun show because it's going to be very different. Again, we yes, Johnny is a writer and a motivational speaker, but this show will be different in the fact, like today's show was, we're just talking with Johnny Tan about how important it is to have family. We're going to actually have Julie, and I don't have her name in front of me, but she's from JKS Communications. She's actually the founder and owner of JKS Communications, which is a
to help
publicity.
People with marketing. Marketing.
Yeah, so it's going to be all about marketing. So today was about getting your life in order and learning that we need to just go back to our basic roots and being in the home and how success comes from home. Next week it's going to be all about marketing.
And we also have
and do it
well,
smart,
we have a
so
new
we're
show.
Not again
we
driving
show.
Ourselves nuts.
We have a new show
so
on Wednesday.
What?
The spiritual show. We have Wednesday. We have a show.
Wednesday we have a spiritual show. What's
no,
Wednesday?
But we have a show on Wednesday. It's the 11th.
Oh my gosh! Thank you, Marcia.
Yes,
May 11th. Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
we are debuting Simon Rose and his new show, Inspiration. Imagination, something I can't remember with Simon Rose. Anyways, it's his debut show on May 11th. Oh my gosh, thanks, Marcia. I believe that's at 6 p.m.
we're lucky. I'm telling you, we live our life. We're Eastern Central Time.
Yes,
we don't know where we are.
Listen to Wednesday's show with Simon Rose. He is going to be a new host with us here on the World of Ink Network. So we're going to bring a Mel into Marcia and my craziness. So,
so all three of us will be on this show, but not forever. He's on his own.
Thank you all
he
for listening to The Writing Mama, and have a good weekend and a happy Mother's Day to
all.
All right,
take care. Happy Mother's Day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Follow me to the World of Ink.